I am thankful for this opportunity that we have to meet together. A time when we can come together and shut the world out for a little while and seek the Lord for ourselves. In times like these, I tell you, they can cause our mind to get very disturbed about what the future holds. But it's opportunities that we have like this to come together and realize who holds the future. We don't have to be worried about the future. God's in control of it. What I've got to do is keep him in my future. Through this meeting, we have been asking the Lord to meet with us. Help us to remember, you know what? My end is approaching. And there's three words that are very important. Be ye ready. You know, we can have something happen to us in life to where I spend my time looking at you to see if you're going to be ready. Those three words tell me to close all that out and for me to be ready. So I'm interested in those things for myself. This is not just a preacher telling you what you need to do. I'm seeking the Lord myself. Lord, I want to be ready. I want to hear you say, well done, at the end of my life. And not one of us have a knowledge of when that's going to be. It could be tomorrow. It could be years down the road. We all get to read 2 Peter 3. And I believe when that chapter was given, he probably felt like the end is very, very close. I just want to give you a warning. I want to give you a reminder. There's scoffers that say it won't be happening, but it's going to happen. You know, that's been 2,000 years ago. And if I'm not careful, I have heard it my lifetime from other ministers saying, I feel the end is very close. I'm 65 years old now, and it has not happened either. But I tell you what, I do not want to join the ranks of the scoffers that say it hasn't happened. I think it's just going to keep on going like normal. Because there's something for me to remember. My end is coming. To all of those people over the 2,000 years that scoffed at the end not having come yet, of all things, those folks are out in eternity today. Many, many of those people. And I'm headed there myself. So what I'm interested in doing with Be Ye Ready, I want to know those things that please God. I would love to know those things that do not please God and adjust my life accordingly before I stand before him. You know, we have examples of what it's going to be like. I can read them and have the fear of God on my heart and yet not be able to really see what it's going to be. When Revelation tells me there's a great white throne from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away. You know, I'm going to stand there myself one day to be judged. And everyone else will too. It seems like there's a runaway of wickedness today. It seems like good now is evil and evil is good. But you know what? There's a little small verse in the Bible. It says every knee will bow one day. It's going to happen. And I want to be ready for that time. To be ready, I need to be bowing my knees now and just asking the Lord, Lord, if there's any adjustments that I need to make in my life, I ask you to show those to me today at a time when I can clear it up. So as I thought about and asked the Lord for tonight, there is something that he can be very pleased with or he can be very displeased with. And we find both ways in the Bible. And I'd like to take a look at it tonight. Give God all glory. All glory to his name. I was looking at the definition. To ascribe honor to praise, to magnify, to honor in worship. We say that we do that. I want to give God all glory. I was looking at a verse over in Isaiah, the 6th chapter. This is where Isaiah caught a glimpse of God himself. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, this is the first verse of 6th chapter of Isaiah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You know, it would be good for us in the times that we're living in, for me sometime to be able to back off and see God high. He's still high and lifted up. And there's something that happened when he saw that. It says in the third verse, it says, one cried to another, holy, holy, holy. You know, that to be describing God needs to just be said over and over. In Revelation, it talks about some that just cry night and day, holy, holy, holy. That is who God is. It says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And I want to have his glory shown out in my life and take no credit to myself for it. There are some places in the Bible that describe God, Jehovah, different names that describe God. You know what? There's a place in Exodus that God gives a description of himself. He said, I am a jealous God. Now, you know, I don't know many people that say, I'd like to describe myself to you. And first of all, I'd like to tell you I'm jealous. You know what? God tells us right off, I'm a jealous God. There's another verse over in Exodus 34 and 12. You know, when we get over in there, we start finding out about Aaron when he made the golden calf. While Moses is on the top of the mount receiving the Ten Commandments, Aaron is at the bottom of the mountain making a golden calf. You know, in Exodus 34, I'd like to look at a couple verses there. These seem to be so remote from us. 34th chapter and in the 12th verse. Here it tells them, take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whether you go, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But here's what you do. Destroy their altars. Why is all that? They have another God that they're worshiping, that they're bringing glory to. Destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. There is another verse that we need to always keep in our mind, that I need to keep in my mind. I would like to go to Isaiah in the 42nd chapter, because this is something that's going to be very important for us. Isaiah 42 and 8. I am the Lord. That's my name. My glory will I not give to another. You know, that's an important verse, because sometimes it seemed like he ought to be willing to share with some others. He's saying, I won't share my glory with another. I won't give my praise to graven images. Here's what he does desire. It's found over in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, it's important for us to be able to see this one. 4th verse, 6th chapter. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. In other words, with everything you have, goes to one God. My glory I will not give another. You know, that's why when the Lord does something for us, we don't want to take any credit for it. It comes from God. You know, there are opportunities when people would like to exalt a man. There were people that wanted to exalt Paul. I'd like to look at that example and what he did with it. In 1 Corinthians, because I want all glory to go to God, 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, and in the 4th verse, it says, "While one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal?" You know, maybe here's someone, he's held a meeting and he's got some people that's gotten saved and they're saying, "I got saved under Paul's preaching. Somebody else, I got saved under Apollos' preaching and I'm following him." You know, Paul could have said, "Well, let me tell you my credentials." Did he do it? No, here's what he said. "Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos?" You know what? We're nobody. God is the one that gets all glory. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? They're ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Here he says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that gives the increase." So then he goes on in the 7th verse, "So then it's neither he that planted anything, neither he that watered was anything, but it was God that gave the increase." You know, Apostle Paul had so many people that had turned against him. He tells us that it was the Jews, by the hand of the Jews, that he received 5 times 40 stripes, save one. And you remember we read the verse where it says, "I would to God, my heart's desire is that Israel would be saved." And now he's got an opportunity to have a little following. I'm of Paul. Here's a little group now that Paul was the one I got saved under. Did Paul take the credit for it? Did he take the glory? Nah. He handed it back to God. "He that planteth and he that watereth, neither one of them are anything compared to, it's God that gives the increase." Yes. I read a verse because this may seem far removed from us, but I tell you, in the time that we're living in, we do not want to give glory to any man. We need to realize if there's any good thing come, it came from God above. And here's something that I would like for us to look at. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. I was reading this today and I would kind of think maybe Paul was thinking something about something like this. In the 5th chapter of 1 Peter, it's talking about ministers and how they should conduct themselves. It says in the 2nd verse, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by restraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." And then look at this next verse. "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock." Realizing, you know what? God is the one that causes there to be an increase. And then this next verse was what was interesting to me. "When the chief shepherd shall appear," he's coming. And you know what? I do not want to be sitting in his seat when he comes. You remember it talks about the man that he went up high, took him a good seat. Somebody come along and said, "You're sitting in somebody else's seat here. I need you to move down." What we need to remember is the chief shepherd, Christ himself, is coming again one day. And I don't want to have been receiving any of the glory that was belonging to him, that should have been given to him. Paul had another opportunity to receive some glory. It was found over in Acts. Because you know, Paul, in so much of his travels, he had people that were against him. In Acts, in the 14th chapter, how would you like to have this as a beginning in the 14th chapter? He's gone to a place, 14:1, came to pass in Iconium. They went together in the synagogue of the Jews, and he spake, and a great multitude of Jews and Greeks believed. That would be a wonderful time. Would it be a wonderful time for Paul to say, look at what I am able to do. I'm saying the right things. I'm hitting it. This is just going so well. Watch what I'm doing here. But then it says the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and caused them problems like they had done so many times before. And Paul ended up having to run to protect his life. But what I'm interested in is it goes on down in the 7th verse. They go to another town, and there is a man that is sick. He's lame in his feet. And they pray for him, and he is healed. And the people of that city take a look at that, and they say in the 11th verse, the gods have come down to us. And they're fixing to give some honor to some men. And it says they called, 12th verse, they called Barnabas Jupiter, Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. They were bringing oxen and garlands, were going to offer sacrifices to these gods that had come down. Did Paul say to Barnabas, look, just let it happen. When we get through, someday we'll have a Bible study about this and talk to him about it. He didn't do it. Said he ran in among them and he said, you know what, folks, we are men just like you are. What he did was he would take no glory to himself. All glory went to God. In the church today, we must take no glory to ourselves. All glory goes to God. Amen. And we have opportunities to see it in action with Paul. You know, Paul had just been, he'd gone through these stonings, he'd gone through these bad times, and now it's looking so good that they're willing to offer sacrifices to him. That's a good time. People are very much in favor of you. But what Paul says is, I'm taking no credit. I'm a man just like everyone else is. God says, my glory, I will not share with another. I will not give it to another. Even to the point that I read a story over in Acts in the 12th chapter. This was not even a Christian here. But it talks about Herod and a time when there were some people that had displeased him. And it says that he had, in the 20th verse, Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. They came with one accord to him, having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And now here comes a man about to be lifted up. Upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in a royal apparel, sat on his throne, and he made an oration to them. And the people gave a shout. This is the voice of God, of a God, and not of a man. You know, Herod didn't say that himself. But you know what he had? He had a window of opportunity to do what Paul had done. Paul said, stop. We're men just like you are. It's God who gets all glory. You know, if Herod had said, stop, God gets all credit, he didn't do it. He had just a little small window before it says, immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. Folks, in our life, God wants to get the glory from the things that he does for us. Maybe if I take the glory myself, maybe I won't fall over dead like Herod did. But folks, I'm headed for eternity. And it says, be ye ready. And one of the things for me to be ready is to realize that throughout my life, God gets all the glory. He is due all the glory. There is a description given in Revelations. That gives me just a little picture of what heaven is going to be like. I love the thought of heaven. I love the songs that we sing about it. John tried to give us a little picture of what it was going to be like. It talks like up there in the 8th verse of the 4th chapter. They rest not day and night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." You know what? The glory is all going to God. And it says in the 10th verse, they fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him and that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before him. You ever hear the song, "Will there be any stars in my crown?" You know, we could say, well, that's what that's talking about is, am I working for the Lord? Is there anyone getting saved? What would I do with a crown in heaven? Would I go around and show folks, I got 10 stars, you got 3? Not with this picture we see. What did they do with the crown? Everybody cast them at his feet, because he is the one that gets all glory for everything that is done. And what did they say? "Lord, I want you to see what I've done before I throw it to you." It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You know, I want to prepare myself for heaven. So how I want to start it is, I want to start giving him glory for everything here and receiving none of it for myself. Think of the angels when they came down. They're going to announce Jesus coming to the earth. And how did they start it? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Glory went back to God. I have a song that I would like for us to sing together. It is song number 41. I want it to be that throughout my life, it comes natural for me to give glory back to God. Number 41. To God be the glory for all he hath done, for life and salvation, the gift of his Son. To God be the glory, rejoice in his name. To God be the glory, forever proclaim. To God be the glory, to him it is due. His help is unfailing, to us he is true. To God be the glory, rejoice in his name. To God be the glory, forever proclaim. Though I was a captive, from sin he did free. In time of affliction, my healer is he. To God be the glory, rejoice in his name. To God be the glory, forever proclaim. To God be the glory, his mercy extol. For all he doth give us, for body and soul, to God be the glory.
the glory, rejoice in His name. To God be the glory forever proclaimed.
I believe that verse is backed up, that song, in Psalms, the 29th chapter. In 29:1, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give to the Lord the glory that is due His name. Folks, we can just look outside in the morning time when the sun comes up, and we ought to be able to give glory, exaltation back to God for creation. You know, folks, there's another verse that says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know what? There's not a thing we did about it. We can come to the place that we feel like, you know what? I have exercised just right. I feel very good about what I have done for myself. And you know what? I better watch out right then. It is amazing to me how fast God can bring down my thoughts of how healthy I am. This past couple weeks, I had maybe a sciatic nerve, a pinched nerve. And you know, it doesn't matter. You don't have a headache. Your foot doesn't hurt. Nothing else hurts. But when your back hurts, it's all over. We need to glorify God because He deserves it. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I want to give God the glory for all that. What things bring glory to God in our lives? There's a scripture that I did not realize it said it this way. But before I go there, there was something that brought glory to God from Paul. Something that God needed to send to him so that he would be ready when his day comes. He said he had a vision of paradise. And it was something that nobody else had had. You know what? Those kind of things can cause a person to become lifted up in themselves. Look what God has been able to give to me. You know, there's a verse that says, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? It all was given to you anyway. Well, this vision was given to Paul, and he understood what was about to happen. Lest I should become exalted above measure, there was a thorn in the flesh given to me, to where he would give glory to God instead of receiving it to himself. You know, God wants glory brought to himself in ways that I never would think it could be done that way. I'd like to look at one of them. It's over in John, in the 11th chapter. Have you ever realized that possibly the sicknesses that we have could be to bring glory to God? Is it just designed that if he heals me, it'll bring glory to him, but if he doesn't, it won't bring glory to him? He desires for it to bring glory to him, however he does with it. In this verse, in the 11th chapter, it's talking about Lazarus being sick. They call for Jesus to come. And he says in the 4th verse, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. This that is about to be happening is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know, the times when the disciples could go to a person and pray for him and they raise them from the dead or they do miraculous healings. You know, it was all intended to bring glory to God and not to the person. So here is something that's coming on Lazarus. And God and Jesus tells them, here's the reason for it. The intention is that it brings glory to God. Am I willing for God to send to me something that brings glory to Him? You know, we may not understand how I could do it, but this one did. You remember when He was raised from the dead? There were so many people that were believers then. In fact, so many people believed that the chief priest said, we're going to have to do something about this. It's causing more people to be driven to Christ. What was their thought of what needed to be done? We need to kill Lazarus again. We need to get rid of him because this is bringing too much glory to God. There was another man in the 9th chapter that had a problem since his birth. And in the 2nd verse, it says the disciples ask him, Master, somebody must have sinned. Who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. It wasn't either one of them. There's a reason for this being done, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now this man was blind from his birth. All of these years had a purpose in them, because God had a plan for his name to be glorified. I have to come to a place where I say what Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, that's how high your thoughts are above my thoughts, and your ways are above my ways. I don't have to be able to figure it out. What I do have to do is yield myself to God and allow him to get the glory in my life. In the 12th chapter of John, Jesus himself now is coming to the point that he's asking the Father to glorify his name. In 12 and 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause came I unto this hour. He recognizes, you know what? There was a plan in place for me. And even though he said, Father, if it be possible, would you let this cup pass from me? He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So he's saying here, Father, 28th verse, glorify your name. What was the answer that came back? There came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. You know, if I were looking at that, I would say, Father, your name could be glorified the best by doing what you did with Hezekiah. Tell Jesus you're going to add 15 years onto his ministry to where he can get out and circulate more. That surely would be the best thing. The Father said, I've glorified it already. Through the things that have happened up until now, I have glorified my name. And I will be glorifying my name again through your death. You know, many times I'm willing to suffer for a little bit, but I want God to bring me out on the other side. Because I feel like, you know what, that's what will bring the most glory to his name. I want to be able to tell people, yes, I had a problem and God healed me of that problem. You know, there was a reason that Job ran into the difficulties that he did. You know what? The Father was glorifying his name. As he's dealing with Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He's a perfect and an upright man. God had some confidence in how Job was living, that he would prove faithful. When his material things were taken, and Job was able to say, it was the Lord that took it. The Lord gave it, and he took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what? The Father's name was glorified then. When he came down with the sickness and his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And he said, "You speak like a foolish woman. Shouldn't we be able to receive the good things and also the bad things in our life?" What I would like to be doing is saying, "Lord, I don't have to understand all the things that come into my life, but what I would like is for you to glorify your name through them." You know, when we read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we see a whole lot of list of people in that list that the Father glorified his name. He really did it with the three Hebrews when they were willing to die for their convictions. He brought them out. He did with several others. In fact, with Job, Job's confidence in God was, he said, "Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him." I'm going to tell you, when we get to that kind of place, the Father's name is going to be glorified. Because whether I live or whether I die, it's in the Lord's hands. I love to read about, by faith, Noah, by faith, Moses, all of these people. But you know that 11th chapter did not end with victory for every one of those. That 11th chapter ended up with, there were some others that died. There were some others that were sawn asunder. There were some others, if we could put it in our day and time, there were some others died with an affliction. But you know what? I believe God's name can be glorified. I want it to be so in my life. There is a call for me and for every one of us today to glorify God with our life. It's a simple verse. We've probably all said it in Sunday school, but it has so much weight to it. It's in Matthew, 5th chapter, and in the 16th verse. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." And the next is going to decide whether he gets the glory or I get the glory. He's saying, let them see your good works. We'll be able to recognize if I'm seeking the glory in it by what the people do that watch it. Because with this one, let them see your good works, and it caused them to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Remember the verse that says, if any man be in Christ, he's going to be a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That new creature, when we live it among the world around us, we want it to be that they don't go away from there saying, that's one strong-willed individual. He is able to will himself to do better. No, we want them to walk away from there and say, you know what? There is power in the blood of Christ. Yes. If he can help him, he can help me. I want it to be my light shine. How does that happen? You know, it happens in the words I say sometime. Am I glorifying God with the words that I say? The small details of my life, I want those to bring glory to God. We sing a song that says, "Guide my words that they be spoken in a kind and loving way, so that they may heal a heart that's broken, somebody's darkness turn to day." And at the end of that, God will be glorified and not me. I remember a minister telling us in a message. He said he and his wife were shopping in the store. He's walking in front of her and she's got the buggy pushing it. You ever been clipped on your heels with a buggy behind you? He said he is walking along in front of her, and whether she sped up or he slowed down, he got the buggy clipped right on his heel. And he said he didn't say a word. He spun around and he gave her a look. And immediately, he said the Lord spoke to him, "You better look out. You look like holiness people." In other words, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, not just my good dress, but let me see some stuff flowing out of me. And it was an admonition to him, Lord, help me in the small details of my life. You know, we're not doing this to impress people. What we're doing it is to bring glory to God that someone else might would desire it. Glorifying God comes in real close sometimes. Over in 1 Corinthians, in the 6th chapter, it tells me that I'm not my own. 6 and 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When I read this, I thought about an account in the Bible where Jesus was going along with his disciples, and he went through a village, and they did not receive him. For whatever reason, they did not receive him. Two of the disciples, James and John, said, Lord, what about it? Would you have us to call down fire out of heaven and destroy these people for not receiving you? You know what he told them? You know, this one says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. You know, does that mean that we are now a sinner? We don't know what spirit we're of? I believe God wants to work with us in the details of our life to be able to help us to have the right attitude about things that come our way. And I believe that's what it was with him. He said the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives. He came to save them. And he just went on to another village. May I live my life recognizing my body and my spirit. If I claim to be a Christian, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are God's. And then there comes a place that comes down maybe closer than that. 1 Corinthians 10. And 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. May everything about my life be able to have God stamp his stamp of approval. I'm glorified with your life. And while I'm on time's side of eternity, I believe this meeting is sent. Be ready for me to call out to God and say, Lord, at any time you see that I've got some different spirit than what you would have. Folks, I tell you, it can come close to home. We're living in a time where I would have, back when I heard of the gay rights, you know what? Something can spring up inside of us. We could call it righteous indignation if we want to. But it might not match up with what Jesus said about, I came to save men, not to destroy them. And now we've moved on to some things that are worse than we'd ever thought about when we talk about transgender. Folks, let's be real, real careful of what we allow our spirit to go into, of despising those kind of things. Help us to be able to do like Christ, love the sinner, but hate the sin. And to realize that, you know what, all they need is one touch from Christ,
yes, right,
and everything will be different for them. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'd like for us to close with a song. It's number 262. Every one of us have a light that's shining. You know, we have temporal dealings with other people. I want every one of those to have God's stamp of approval on it. so that I can meet him in peace, and his name has been glorified by the life I live. That song says, let your light so shine that the world may see how to come to Christ who will set them free. There's another one that says, let your light so shine every day and every hour that the truth would be clothed with divinest power. Let it brightly shine to promote God's cause, to exalt his name and his holy laws. Let your light shine that they your works beholding may glorify your Father. We want that to happen. Here we stand and sing number 262.